This is the podfic of Only Murders on the Mainland, an Our Flag Means Death fanfiction by Kiara Sayre, KiaraSayre, narrated by Little Thingies. There's no rating on this fic, but I would call it teen and up audiences. No archive warnings apply. This is a general story, although the main pairings that show up are Blackbeard Edward Teach and Steed Bonnet, and Archie, Olawande Buhari, and Jim Jimenez. Summary. After a chance encounter with someone from Steed's past, some of the crew realize that they don't know as much about him as they thought they did. So they do the sensible thing, and, rather than asking Steed, mount a detailed investigation. Tragically, they're several hundred years too early to start a podcast. I'm going to read a portion of the author's note as well. This fic assumes that almost no communication happens off-screen, and therefore it is about a bunch of people finding things out, having revelations, connecting two dots without connecting shit, etc. You probably know, based on that caveat, whether this fic is for you. A reader's note, this is my first ever podfic, so thank you for listening. Please be kind to me. This is one of my favorite stories, primarily centered around Lucius and Olawande. They are spectacular. This story is set during the probation era, shortly after season 2, episode 5, The Curse of the Seafaring Life. The original work is one chapter, but I have split this into multiple chapters for ease of uploading. Chapter 1. The raid part is pretty routine by now, and honestly, if Olawande thinks about it too hard, he might cry with gratitude, because it feels so nice just to have something uncomplicated. To have Jim and Archie on either side of him, having his back, both literally and metaphorically. To have Steed captaining like a proper fucking captain, calling out sensible orders and actually occasionally managing to intimidate a civilian or two. To have Izzy exhibiting calm competence and the rest of the crew being a bit more extravagant, but still competent is the main thing. And to have Blackbeard back on the Revenge where he still isn't allowed sharp or combustible objects, but that's a bit complicated, isn't it? So Olawande is just going to focus on the here and now. And here and now, they're tying up the last of the civilians, who have delightfully and uncomplicatedly surrendered upon seeing the vengeful pirate horde. And Olawande is just taking note of the fact that Archie isn't tying her knots too tight in deference to said surrender, when the poor sap she's tying catches a glimpse of the captain and says, sounding shocked, "Steed?" He's possibly the most normal-looking person Olawande's ever seen, but in, like, a nice and comforting way. Unpretentious clothes, none of the wigs or powder of the aggravatingly elite, and a kind face that shows traces of smile lines, even though he's slack-jawed staring at Steed right now. And when Olawande follows his gaze, he finds his captain staring back. "Oh my god?" "Oh wow," the captive says, and Olawande looks immediately back at him, because he's not a particularly good actor, and right now he's faking something, and faking it badly. "Wow, you just look so much like Steed Bonnet, the gentleman pirate, whom I used to know, and who very definitely and comprehensively died in Bridgetown, Barbados, several months ago." Steed's expression melts from confusion to what Olawande has come to think of as his fuckery face, an expression halfway between sly and gleeful that fools absolutely no one. "Ah, yes, you caught me. I, someone who is definitely not Steed Bonnet, have taken the identity of the famed gentleman pirate in order to co-opt the respect and gravitas that he commanded throughout the pirating community." "Wait, what?" Archie mutters, sitting back on her heels where she's kneeling next to the captive. "Fuck if I know," Jim murmurs back. "And if you knew him," Steed continues in tones of decidedly conspicuous dignity, "then I shall definitely take advantage of that fact and interrogate you about him so that I can better impersonate Steed Bonnet, the gentleman pirate, who is dead and also not me." Olawande looks across the deck at Lucius. He is actively wincing. But Steed keeps going. "This fearsome interrogation should clearly occur in private. Maybe over, say, a late lunch? What time is it? Are you hungry yet?" The captive shrugs. "I could eat." Then he clears his throat. And I certainly fear you, impostor. I find myself with no choice but to capitulate to your demands and bargain for my own life. Perhaps by alerting you that there's some Serrano ham and Manchego cheese down in the hold, along with a lovely selection of Spanish wines. Steed breaks into a luminous smile. Oh, that sounds absolutely lovely. He glances at the rest of the captives and forces his expression back into something stern. An absolutely lovely way to avoid dying at my vicious, vicious hands. There's obvious reluctance in Steed's eyes as he takes stock of his own crew, which makes Oluwande frown a bit. They're all exhibiting pretty normal behavior for them. Frenchie has a knife to the enemy captain's throat. Wee John is holding the first mate about a foot off the deck by the scruff of his shirt. Roach is holding both of his cleavers with the barely contained energy of someone who wants to see a toe flying through the air in the next 10 seconds, and if it doesn't happen on its own, he'll damn well make it happen. Oluwande, Lucius, I don't suppose you can give our captive a hand while I finish things up here? Steed says eventually, and Oluwande immediately understands. Steed doesn't just want this guy to live, he wants him to have an actually decent experience and not fear for his life. Which is a weird thing to want for some rando they just came across in the course of piracy, but, well, Steed clearly knows this guy, and this isn't a situation like their disastrous run-in with Steed's old school chum turned English Navy captain, so Oluwande decides to indulge in a little optimism. Yes, sir, Captain Sir, Oluwande says, just in case it'll help impress this guy. Yeah, all right, Lucius says, although he looks much more skeptical about the whole thing. They leave the captain's hands bound as they take him down below, although as soon as they're out of eyeshot of everyone else, the captive begins speaking with a low, conspiratorial tone. This is kind of exciting, isn't it? He says. I'm Doug, by the way. I don't know if Steed's told you about me. Oluwande says, trading a glance with Lucius, who pulls a baffled face. Not really, no, sorry. Are you from Bridgeport? Captain can be, a bit tight-lipped about personal stuff, Lucius adds, despite the fact that Oluwande has never known Steed to be tight-lipped about anything. That's fair, entirely fair, Doug says, leading them around a stack of crates in the hold. All right, so I think the ham and cheese should be over there, but if you're also looking for loot, there are some valuables over in this direction, including, he adds with a knowing look at Oluwande and Lucius, some pieces by the Widow Bonnet. The Widow... Steed's wife paints? Lucius says, eyebrows raised. Oh, yes, Doug says. I was actually her painting instructor, although I'm delighted to say she's developed a truly unique style. Well, that explains how Steed and Doug know each other. Oh, Oluwande says, putting things together as Lucius begins sifting through canvases. She goes by the Widow Bonnet because Steed faked his death then. No, she started calling herself that because when Steed first left to go to sea, everyone just kind of assumed he died. Doug shrugs. Sorry, I don't mean to cast aspersions. Oluwande returns the shrug companionably. Nah, no worries. I think we're all still a little surprised that he's made it as long as he has. Holy shit, Lucius says, sounding more appreciative than shocked, angry, or traumatized, which Oluwande thinks is a welcome change. Oluwande glances over to see what Lucius is looking at, and frowns. Is that one of the paintings? It's a goddamn masterpiece, Lucius breathes, holding the canvas up. It shows the entryway to a house, brightly colored sunlight spilling through stained glass windows. The wood flooring of the entryway, though, is speckled with red ovals that Oluwande realizes after a second are bloody footprints. The paint runs down in grotesque but unmistakable drips from them. Look at this brushwork, even the strokes for the sunlight are at a different angle than everything else. And that shading. And oh my god, look! The footprints are raised. How do you even do that? Mary applied the paint directly with a palette knife to create a sense of depth, Doug says, looking over Lucius's shoulder. I have to admit, it isn't my favorite that she's done, but it's always gratifying to see her stretch her use of materials and techniques. And besides, she clearly has some things she needed to get out. Lucius's fingers run over one of the background walls, which, Oluwande realizes on a closer glance, is also splattered with a fine mist of red. Is this supposed to be blood? It is, Doug agrees. The piece is titled Mourning Widow, see? And he taps the squiggle on the frame that Oluwande assumes corresponds to the title. since Steed's return interrupted a support group brunch for widows, and also because we then faked his death. Lucius nods slowly. So the bloody footprints represent the dead husband? I think more representing Steed as the intrusion of patriarchal masculine violence into a countercultural safe space, Doug shrugs. Or maybe it's just because his feet were all bloody. Did you just say Steed represented violence? Lucius demands. And his feet were bloody? Olawande adds. He was barefoot when he arrived, Doug tells Olawande, and then addresses Lucius. Mary had a lot to work through, even after Steed faked his death and left. The parting was on good terms, of course, but I think the incident at her showing when he tried to kill me really stuck with her. Lucius blinks repeatedly, jerking his head back, and, bless him, says exactly what Olawande is thinking. Tried to kill you? I'm not sure he was trying to kill me, necessarily, Doug concedes. He was pretty drunk. It even took him a second to recognize me when he had the knife at my throat. Did you say knife at your throat? Olawande presses. Well, he sort of took it from the hors d'oeuvre table and kind of, Doug gestures the flat of his hand across his neck. Told me if I didn't let go of him, he'd make me bleed? Olawande and Lucius digest this in silence. And we're talking about Steed Bonnet here, Lucius ventures after a moment. Took me by surprise, too, Doug agrees cheerfully. I mean, I did grab him without permission or warning. And he apologized afterwards. Clearly it wasn't a great night for him. He was very drunk, and apparently had spent most of the evening in the pub, where everyone kept asking him about Blackbeard. I take it something happened there? That's a whole lot of things that Olawande doesn't know how to even start processing. He's not sure he's ever even seen Steed drunk. Even when he downed half a bottle of rum for anesthetic before getting unpinned from the mast, he basically slurred a few giggles and immediately fell asleep. Although, that could have been the blood loss. Oh, yeah, Lucius says, his lips pursing with perfect bitchiness. He's not the only one Blackbeard is a sore subject for. It's a long story, don't ask, Olawande agrees. Hey, how does this usually work, by the way? Doug asks, lifting his bound hands. Can the rope come off, or... I guess it probably makes more sense to keep it like this until we're out of sight of the others? Probably for the best, Olawande says, pretending he didn't completely forget that Doug was tied up. We really appreciate the quick surrender, though, Lucius adds, patting Doug on the shoulder. Seriously, it makes our lives so much easier. Doug grins back. This is a little fun, he says. I can see why Steed enjoys it so much. Yeah, this is definitely what it's always like, Olawande says. For sure, Lucius agrees, and physically turns away from Doug to hide his grimace. But he schools his expression and turns back. Anyway, where's that ham? Once Roach gets over his fit of pique at being insufficient prep time to pull together an entire spread of tapas, the light lunch is served in the galley to Doug, the whole crew of the Revenge, and also Blackbeard. "You're Ed?" Doug says, eyebrows sky high as he takes in the sight of Ed Teach, from the sackcloth clothing to the cat bell still around his neck to the absolutely excruciating atmosphere that follows him around the ship. Ed says, blinking in surprise, and for a second he looks more like he did pre-murder, vulnerable, unguarded. Yeah, hey, hi, and you are? This is Doug, Steed jumps in, placing himself not quite between the two of them and putting a hand on each of their shoulders with the somewhat blitzed expression of someone suddenly blindsided by the completely predictable consequences of their own actions. Doug is... I know Doug from Bridgetown, and we, ran into each other in the last raid. And since I'm now back at sea, I thought we could... you know, relax a little and to make sure that all of our, stories are straight and whatnot. Sorry about that, Steed, Doug says, though he keeps glancing at Ed out of the corner of his eye. I didn't mean to say your name. I was just so surprised that it kind of came out. Why wouldn't you say his name? Ed says blankly. Archie leans over towards Olawande and whispers to him. Do you think they fucked? What, Steed and Doug? Olawande whispers back furiously. No fucking way. Why are they being so weird then? Olawande doesn't have an answer to that, tragically. Well, because he's meant to be dead, Doug says to Ed. And all that effort we put into faking his death and doing all the paperwork so that... And here's lunch, Steed says loudly, practically pushing Ed towards the galley table. Yeah, must have been weird, Ed grumbles, though he goes to the bench easily enough, seeing as he'd been reported dead and suddenly turns up again. Steed clears his throat, sitting down next to Ed with all the subtlety of a bird shit splattering down from the heavens. So, Doug, he says, quite loud, what brought you to sea anyway? Yeah, and why'd you bring all those paintings with you? Lucius adds, giving a vaguely inquisitive gesture with a floppy circle of ham. Oh, I'm originally from up north, Doug explains. And then, since I was going to visit some family anyway, I went ahead and collected some paintings to take with me for some of the galleries over there. I know they're a bit ahead of the current moment, but I really think that Mary's paintings have the potential to. The shattering of glass makes everyone jump. It doesn't escape Oluwande's notice that Jim's hand disappears below the table, presumably to one of their daggers, while a tiny pistol has suddenly appeared in Archie's hand, and Frenchie's table knife has swiveled in his grip in preparation for some spirited stabbing. Which isn't really surprising, because Ed's hand, hovering over the table, used to be holding a wine glass, and now it's dripping with splinters of glass. His expression is blank, too, which is concerning. It's just as likely to be a prelude to violence as a moment to collect himself. I apologize, Ed says after a moment, his voice too controlled. He flexes his hand, and it sheds the glittering remains of his cup, and also a little blood. If you'll excuse me for a moment, he continues slowly, but Oluwande relaxes a little. He's getting vibes of the latter and not the former. I think I could do with some fresh air. Ed, Steed begins, his face twisted with concern, but Ed continues over him. I'm just taking a beep, he says in that same slow voice, pushing his chair back from the table. That way, I can deal with these feelings rather than doing something unconstructive. Frenchie outright winces at that. Ed doesn't slam the door behind himself, which Oluwande thinks is probably better than the alternative, although 2 seconds after the latch clicks, a loud but muffled crash fills the room. Steed clears his throat. Let's just focus on the positives here and note the progress this represents. Yeah, Jim mutters. This is some real self-actualizing shit by Blackbeard standards. Doug blanches. Blackbeard? I thought that was Ed. Ah, Steed says, looking distinctly caught out. Yes, that's Ed. We're Teach. Did I not, mention that before? Based on the flare of panic in Doug's eyes, and also everything Oluwande knows about Steed, he absolutely had not mentioned that before. I should also say, Steed continues, although now at least he has the decency to look a little guilty, that Mary is, perhaps not the best topic of conversation with Ed. Doug looks slowly in Lucius and Oluwande's direction for confirmation. Lucius winces hugely, the whole bottom half of his face scrunching up, and Oluwande settles for a grimace and a small shake of his head. Right, Doug says faintly. I'll remember that. Not that there's any need to tell Mary that, Steed rushes to add. Or the children. Maybe it's for the best if this little encounter stays between us, now that I think of it. Doug frowns thoughtfully, looking Steed closely in the face. Are you okay? He asks after a second. I really am, Steed says, and doesn't even seem to be lying. I was just so excited to see you on that ship, I forgot to take into account all of the, he wrinkles his nose, circumstances. So Doug dabs at his lips with a napkin. So maybe I should just get back? That's probably for the best, yeah. We'll take him, Lucius says quickly. Oluwande whips his head around to stare at Lucius. We? He repeats. Thank you two, Steed says. I'll, go check on Ed. So Oluwande and Lucius take Doug back to the other ship, and Oluwande spends the whole time helping Doug down to the tender, trying not to be irritated by Lucius volunteering him for the job. Hey, quick question, Lucius says to Doug as Oluwande begins to row, because he knows that Lucius won't do it, which is part of the reason he's annoyed. So Steed just kind of showed up again in Bridgeport, right? With no warning or anything? It's Bridgetown, but yes, that's right. Barefoot? Doug sighs. Yep. Did he ever say, I don't know, why? Did he just show up barefoot and bloody with no explanation? Oluwande frowns, blatantly listening, because, yeah, that's weird. No, Doug admits. And I don't think Mary was in much of a mood to ask, you know. I mean, for one thing, we weren't sure how Seed would take our relationship. That's startling enough to jolt Oluwande into the conversation. Relationship? Oh, yes, Doug says. We got married about a month and a half ago, once all of Seed's death paperwork was completed. And Lucius breaks in. Sorry, just to clarify, were you two together before Seed's fake death? Doug takes a deep breath. I know how that sounds, but Mary and Seed's marriage was never particularly happy, on either side, as I understand it. And nobody expected Seed to come back when he left the first time. Just a bit of a splashy departure, you know? Oh, yeah, Lucius says easily. And, you know, it's a miracle he still isn't dead, so. So it took all of us by surprise when he returned, Doug continues. Mary, most of all. Seed leaving was probably one of the best things that ever happened to her. Well, second best, now that his death is official and she inherited everything from him. Okay, no, hold on. We need to start back from the beginning, Lucius says. Seed showed up, didn't say anything about where he'd been, tried to kill you, and then faked his death? Any details you can add in there? Because right now it's just, frankly, a little mind-boggling. Oluwande put some effort into rowing more quietly to better hear what explanation Doug has. Well, he was really only home for under a week, Doug says, which tracks with how long it took for things to go bad with Ed back on the ship. I don't think he did a lot, actually. Everything sort of came to a head the evening of Mary's showing when Mary tried to kill him. When what? Oluwande demands. They talked it all out, Doug says quickly. And apparently, that's when he realized he's in love with Ed and resolved to fake his death to set things right. We spent most of that night talking, he adds. Steed and I should say. Mary got to sleep through it. That's when we planned faking his death. And how did that happen exactly? Lucius ventures. Well, when Steed and I started blocking it out, we were just going to have him be hit by a carriage, Doug explains. But we were a little worried by the precision it would take to render a body unrecognizable. And by we, I mean him, if I'm being honest. So he added a piano falling on his head. Oluwande cranes his neck around to make eye contact with Lucius and mouths, "Piano?" Of course, when he and Mary went to Evelyn, she's the undertaker's mother, to get a body, they ran into her jungle cat Ned, and he decided to involve him as well. Honestly, that part was kind of fun. That planning and preparation was when I started to feel like I was meeting the real Steve, you know? Sometimes you don't see how sad someone is until you see what they look like happy. They're approaching the other ship now, and their time is running out. So Oluwande says, just to circle back real quick, do you know what happened to Steve's shoes? Like, why he showed up barefoot? No, Doug says, no idea. And Oluwande decides to put it out of his mind and not think about it anymore. Except it doesn't super work, does it? Because Oluwande has never been a fan of secrets or mysteries or other things that make no fucking sense. And obviously Oluwande doesn't enjoy spending his free time trying to figure out his captain's bizarre brain, but he finds himself doing it anyway, his thoughts drifting back to that week that he can't quite fit into how he sees Steed. Seed himself seems to have moved past Doug's brief visit with aplomb, and he and Ed are once again doting on each other to an extent that borders on disgusting. Ed, who still hasn't apologized, as Lucius never hesitates to point out. But whatever. That's another complicated thing, so Oluwande isn't going to worry about it. It's working for now, is the point, and that's better than when it's not working. So Oluwande lets things just keep going. He takes his captain's orders as much as he ever does, tries to pretend Blackbeard isn't walking around as if he never tried to murder anyone, and he and Jim and Archie keep doing their thing, which is being there for each other and hanging out with one another and never ever questioning it any deeper than that. So it takes Oluwande by surprise a little bit when he's lying on his bed after a long day, trying not to think too deeply about why Steed took it so well when his ex-wife tried to murder him, and a knock on his door interrupts him. When Oluwande answers it, he's a little surprised to see Lucius leaning against the frame. Hey, have you got a sec? Lucius asks, and brushes past Oluwande into the empty room without waiting for an answer. Huh, Jim and Archie not here? Nah, they're off, Oluwande says. Fucking, Lucia suggests. Olawande sighs. Yeah. Lucia says, narrowing his eyes keenly at Olawande. And how's that going for you specifically? It's fine, Olawande says quickly. Great, even. I just want them to be happy, you know, and Archie's. She's great too, so. Are the three of you doing a whole. You know, Lucius makes a gesture like he's wiping down a table with a rag. What are you talking about? Olawande asks, because he has genuinely no idea what that's supposed to mean. Is it all three of you? Lucius clarifies. Olawande groans. Did you seriously come down here just to ask me that? Lucius, to Olawande's surprise, shakes his head, just a little, more like he's clearing it in response to Olawande's question. No, you're right. Down to business. Lucius peeks his fingers together. You know when Steed's friend Doug was around? Olawande rolls his eyes. You mean Steed's ex-wife's new husband who helped him fake his death, Doug? Yep, exactly. Do you happen to know what the fuck all of that was? I've been trying not to think about it, Olawande admits, flopping himself down to sit on the bed. 'Cause it doesn't matter, does it? Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't, Lucius agrees, crossing to the center of the room and prodding his toe against the floorboards. There's probably still some salt left over from when Olawande, Jim, and Archie were protecting themselves from the captain's curse, now that Olawande thinks of it. Then Lucius tuts a little bit and slumps his shoulders. Okay, but the thing I can't wrap my head around is the shoes? Olawande interrupts, because that's what's been bothering him. Lucius claps his hands together in front of him. The fucking shoes, exactly. He even wears slippers on deck, Olawande continues. And then he supposedly walks across Barbados barefoot? He stepped on a pea in the galley once, with his shoes on, and complained about feeling it through the sole the whole day. And then he goes around, getting drunk and attempting murder and faking his death? Lucius agrees. It's fucking bizarre, is what it is. And he hasn't said anything about it, Olawande sighs. And, like, he never really talked about his wife or kids before, right? So I guess it's not that weird that he's not talking about it now, but. Lucius points at him in agreement. But his whole thing is talking it through as a crew. It'd hardly be the first hypocritical thing he's done, obviously, but it's still so fucking weird. I mean, maybe the Privateering Academy wasn't that far away after all, Olawande suggests. Barbados isn't that big an island, right? Lucius wrinkles his nose half-heartedly. I don't have much of a basis for comparison, really. So maybe he got the idea to leave and just did it without thinking, all up in a rush before he had a chance to change his mind or, like, grab stuff? That sounds more like him. But without shoes, though, Lucius shakes his head. That doesn't seem like him. It doesn't. It really doesn't. The only other thing I can think of is that maybe the Privateering Academy didn't let them have shoes, Olawande says. But Lucius frowns. Was Ed barefoot when he came back to the ship? I can't remember. We could. Olawande cuts himself off. Yeah, I know, Lucius says ruefully, and kicks at the floor again. He'd have at least some of the answers, wouldn't he? But do you even want to talk to him, though? Olawande looks Lucius right in the eye. We've all got issues with him, obviously, but it seems like yours were a lot. Yeah, Lucius repeats, and tilts his head from side to side in consideration. I mean, he did let me throw him off the ship that one time, and he says he's trying to move the culture forward, whatever the fuck that means, and Pete's doing most of the wedding planning, so. Is that a reason to, yes, talk to him? Olawande asks, frowning. I mean, Lucius's head rolls on his shoulders in a flop of indecision. You know how there's just so much stuff that went down that we're just not really talking about? And sometimes it feels like any second now it's going to boil over and somebody's going to scream or shoot someone else, even though the rest of the time everything feels fine or even better than fine. Olawande sitting in the room that he shares with Jim, who he slept with one time, and Archie, who is currently sleeping with Jim, sighs. I absolutely know that, yeah. Lucius shrugs. Well, it just seems like it's a hell of a lot easier to deal with all of this completely pointless stuff than all of that. Yeah, yep, that sounds amazing, actually. Let's do that. It's surprisingly difficult to get Ed alone, turns out, mainly because Ed seems to be clinging to Steve's side. Which is understandable, given that four of the remaining crew basically did murder him one time, and most of the rest would be pretty on board with another attempt, even if Lucius seems a bit more on the fence about it these days. Only Murders on the Mainland? Chapter 2. He doesn't actually end up having to corner Ed, as it turns out, since Ed finds him alone at the head that evening. Olawande. Olawande isn't expecting it, because why the fuck would he? So he full body jolts, flinching away from Ed so hard that he nearly throws himself off the ship by accident. Jesus Christ, where's your stupid bell? My. Ed frowns and flicks at his bell. It chimes, ethereal and carefree. It's right here, man, I'm wearing it. We gotta get you a new one then, Olawande says, his heartbeat slowly but surely returning to normal. Thank God he'd already finished up and put everything away before Ed interrupted. That one ain't working. Silence stretches between them. Olawande breaks first, asking, "So, did you need something?" Ed rolls his neck. No, Olawande realizes. He's just tilting his head like he's thinking. You were with Doug on that other ship. Yeah? Did he, you know? Now Ed affects an overly casual shrug. Did he say anything about Steed when Steed was back? Ah-ha-ha, Olawande says, with all the enthusiasm he can muster, which is very little. Funny you should say that, actually, because Lucius and I have been a little unclear about a couple things, about how things went down. Ed shrugs one shoulder. I mean, not that I care. Fuck would I care, you know, but he also didn't tell you, like you all? Olawande shakes his head. No, he just showed up with a tender to rescue us and said he'd given up all his money. Right, yeah, sure, Ed nods, rocking back on his heels a bit. This time, Olawande does hear the bell tinkling. And that doesn't seem weird to you? Olawande opens his mouth to defend Speed, out of the combination of two habits, defending his cabin and disagreeing with Blackbeard. But, honestly, it's so fucking weird. Right? Who does that? He had so much money. That was like the one thing he had going for him. Well, Ed scrunches up his face. Not the only thing he had going for him. Olawande says, fervently hoping that Ed isn't referring to Steed's dick. Yeah, totally. So Lucius and I, we've got some questions still? Ed nods fervently. Sure thing, man. I'd love to help you investigate. Investigate? Oh. Absolutely, Ed says, letting his hands hang open by his sides. Ask away. We'll all put our heads together and get this sorted in no time, yeah? It occurs to Olawande that maybe he and Lucius aren't the only ones looking for a distraction. Yeah, okay then, he says, and leads Ed back to the room, pausing just long enough to catch Lucius's eye and beckon him to come with. First of all, Ed says when they pack into the room, I just want to say how grateful I am that you're letting me join you on this voyage of discovery. Lucius just blinks at him, wide-eyed and incredulous. But Ed just keeps going. So, you know, what questions have you got? What are you trying to find out, like, specifically? First of all, Olawande says, positioning himself at least a tiny bit between Ed and Lucius, did the Privateering Academy give you all shoes? Ed stares at him for a moment. That's it? Yeah, man, they gave us shoes. We'd be pretty fucking useless privateers if we were running around in our bare feet. See, that's exactly why we still have questions, Olawande says. Look, how about how you take us through what happened from your side of things? Lucius crosses his arms, leaning against the wall, but it's a surprisingly non-confrontational arm cross and wall lean, all things considered, and he watches Ed placidly. Yeah. Ed clears his throat. Well, we got to the Privateering Academy. They checked us in. Steed was already presumed dead, if that helps, he adds. He spent some time thinking about whether or not people actually thought he was dead, or just, you know, kind of were trying to wish it into existence, sort of thing. How do you know he was thinking about that? Lucius interrupts, but gently. No edge to his tone, just curiosity. 'Cause he was thinking out loud, Ed says. We were talking about it, sort of thing. Then he saw I'd shaved and got weirded out and left. Because you shaved? Olawande asks, eyebrows raising. Ed gestures at Olawande with both hands. Right? Thank you. It's just a shave. Who gives a shit? He sighs, shaking his head. But yeah, he's scarpered, and I followed him to this, like, dock-type thingy, and that's where we, Ed shifts a little, and Olawande makes a mental note to himself to come back to this moment, because he's definitely leaving something out. That's where we made our plan to escape. What was the plan? Olawande presses. Fairly straightforward. I took care of most of the details. Steed had top bunk, so I figured he was more likely to be missed if someone looked in. I went to get a dinghy, threatened one of the guards into waking Steed up at the right time, and then Steed was. Ed's voice falters, and he looks conspicuously away at the wall with a sniff. Steed was supposed to meet me at the dock. All right, Lucia says slowly. So if that's what was supposed to happen, what actually happened? Ed shrugs one shoulder with forced nonchalance. Well, by the time the sun started coming up, I figured he wasn't coming, so I got in the dinghy myself and rowed out to the Revenge. Frowning, Olawande looks over at Lucius, who meets his gaze with equal confusion in his eyes. So, Olawande says, he just didn't show up, and you didn't go looking for him? Ed scoffs. He clearly thought better of the whole thing and decided to go off on his own, which we know he did, he adds, and yep, now there's defensiveness seeping into his tone. So it's not like I'm pulling it out of nowhere. He went back to his wife and his kids and his money. Which he then gave away, Olawande points out. Nope, not there yet, Lucia says, and holds the hand up and out towards Olawande to slow him down. We are not skipping ahead. This guard you threatened, do you know if he actually woke Steed up? Well, if he didn't, it must have been because Steed wasn't there, Ed frowns. Why? I mean, Lucius tries again. Are you sure that maybe this whole thing wasn't just a misunderstanding and the guard chickened out and didn't wake Steed up? Because Steed told me, Ed says, and now his voice is dropping into the low, threatening register that Olawande associates with Blackbeard rather than Ed. That he panicked and left and went home to marry. He left of his own accord. Seems like that, yeah, Olawande agrees, and then shakes his head. But the shoes, though. The fucking shoes, Lucius agrees ruefully. Ed looks between them, his face crinkled in bafflement. Why the fuck are you so obsessed with the shoes? Because, Lucius says with an air of triumph, he wasn't wearing any. He was barefoot, Ed says blankly. He asked for less scratchy blankets at the Privateering Academy, and he showed up back at home in his bare goddamn feet? Oh god, of course he did, Lucius moans quietly, resting the ball of one hand against his forehead. This is why we're so confused, Olawande says, gratified. Hang on, Ed says, and frowns again. There's a lot of frowning going on, Olawande notes. He wonders if it's something to do with the whole investigation thing, or if they're all just taking advantage of the opportunity to make faces that aren't either one, angry, or two, faking not being angry. Ed says, the Privateering Academy was out at Cove Bay. That's just about as far from Bridgetown as you can get without jumping in the fucking ocean. Did he buy a horse, or? No, he didn't have any money, did he? So how did he get to Bridgetown? Oh, Olawande says, realizing an important detail that they had, perhaps, forgotten to mention. We actually think he walked? Ed looks blankly at him. It's the other side of the island. One of the things that Doug said, Lucius jumps in, and one of the reasons we're trying to figure out what happened, actually, is that Steed's feet were kind of cut up and bloody by the time he got back. Slowly shaking his head, Ed says, No, that doesn't make any sense. That's a whole day of walking, at least. Night, Lucius corrects absently, then catches how Ed and Olawande are looking at him. Steed came back in the middle of brunch, and the title of that painting was Morning Widow, remember? Morning as in early in the day, not as in grieving, which was probably a pun now that I think of it. Painting? Ed repeats. Oh shit. Olawande catches a glimpse of Lucius's panicked expression and can immediately tell that he hadn't meant to bring up Mary. Okay, look, Ed, Olawande says slowly. If you need to, what'd you say before? take a beat after you hear this, just say the word, okay? But Doug was traveling with Mary's paintings because he was her painting instructor before they got married. Ed closes his eyes and pulls his head back as if someone just spritzed him with water. Did you say married? Lucius gives Oluwande a frazzled and exaggerated shrug that somehow uses more elbow than Oluwande is used to a shrug using. Yeah, married, Oluwande says. It sounds like maybe he and Mary were already a thing, and then when Steed faked his death, which they helped with for what it's worth, they went ahead and made it official. Now Ed jerks back entirely, less like encountering a spritz of water and more like running headfirst into a flung bucket of it. Steed faked his fucking death? Oh, did you not hear that part? Lucius says, and one of Ed's eyes twitches. He's been introducing himself. Yeah, it's a bit weird, Oluwande agrees. By his name, Ed continues. Lucius nods. Sure is. That makes no fucking sense. Ed's emphasis is growing almost feverish now. Say what you will about his fuckery skills, but he's devoted to the craft, so why the fuck is he going around casually breaking character? Lucius and Oluwande glance at each other. Yep, that too, Lucius says after a second. That's definitely as important as all the other bits of this, for sure. Ed lets out a breath, grabbing his face with his hands. Fuck, I can't even keep track of all this shit. So this death-faking thing was after the Privateering Academy? Yeah, sounds like Mary helped out with it, Oluwande says, and is gratified when the name doesn't so much as make Ed flinch. Steed never said. Ed shakes his head, his gaze taking on something of a lost look. He never said anything. Maybe he thought it would be too much to explain, Lucius suggests, or got embarrassed by how, like, intricate it was. It sounds like it involved a carriage, a piano, and a jungle cat. That sounds fucking awesome. I don't know what you're talking about, Ed says. The door to the room opens, making Lucius jump a little, but in the doorway stand Jim and Archie, both of whom go still as soon as they see Ed in the room. Oh, Oluwande says, suddenly aware of the fact that he's alone in a room with the notoriously unstable Lucius and the recent tormentor of, well, all of them, basically. Hey, guys. One of Jim's hands disappears behind their back in a motion that Oluwande just knows means they're grabbing a dagger. Are you all plotting? They ask, their eyes narrowing. Ed says, glancing between everyone else currently in the room. Do you want me to leave? Is that what's happening? We're not plotting, Oluwande says quickly. We're solving a mystery, Lucius adds, and Oluwande politely ignores that he can see Lucius's hands shaking from leftover startlement. A fucking mystery, Archie says, and cranes her neck to look over Jim's shoulder. Did someone die? No, Oluwande says, holding up his hands appeasingly. When that Doug guy came over, it raised a few questions about what happened when the captain went back to his family, so we're just trying to, you know, get it straight. Jim makes a face like they just smelled something bad. For fuck's sake, why? Feet, Lucia says, which, shockingly, doesn't seem to clarify anything for Jim. Seriously, though, Ed says, and gives a small point in the direction of the door, keeping his hands unobtrusive and close to his chest so that it doesn't look too threatening. Do you want me to go? I know I might be, you know, contributing to an atmosphere that's not conducive to... For fuck's sake, just go, Jim snaps. Might help if we, you know, Archie says, and takes Jim by the shoulders to back them gently out of the doorway. Yep, sorry, going now, Ed says, and slips past them. You might as well come in, Lucia says, beckoning at them. Jim and Archie do, with a caution that suggests they expect a rabid weasel to jump out at them from behind any corner. But the important part is that they settle on the bed, using it as a sofa with their backs against the wall. Okay, so, picture this, Lucius says, holding up his hands as if gesturing at an invisible screen. Bridgetown, Barbados. A quiet morning. Birds chirping in the quiet residential area. The only other sounds are the rustling of palms and the quiet chatter of conversation. A group of widows have come together in the parlor of the Widow Bodett's home for a supportive brunch. I'm thinking tea, I'm thinking snacks, I'm thinking maybe little pastries. Is this really necessary? Oluwande asks, frowning. But the quiet of the morning is pierced, Lucius continues, ignoring all the Wande, when suddenly the door to the estate slams open, and in rushes the supposedly dead Stede Bonnet himself. Jim sighs, rolling their eyes, but Lucius keeps going. He stumbles in, covered in blood. We don't know if he was covered in it, Ollivander interrupts. Bearing on his person at least a small quantity of blood, Lucius corrects himself, glaring at Ollivander, and leaving bloody bare footprints in the entryway as he falls to his knees, gasping through tears. Ollivander pinches the bridge of his nose. You're embellishing, bro, come on. Yeah, the bloody footprints really took it over the edge, Archie agrees, crossing her arms. Oh no, that part's real, Ollivander tells her. Jim frowns, and even Archie's mouth twists with disbelief. And we're talking about Steed, Jim says. Yep, Lucius confirms. Steed Bonnet, Jim repeats. Our captain, Steed Bonnet, who, whatever you're about to say, the answer is yes, Lucius says. See, this is why we're so fucking confused. And this was before we were living at Spanish Jackie's and his standards plummeted down into hell, Ollivander adds. I mean, Archie says, I know I haven't known him as long as the rest of you, but barefoot and bloodied up doesn't really sound like him. And, Ollivander says, pointing triumphantly at Archie, he hasn't even complained about it. He hasn't turned it into a story about how badass he thinks he is, or mentioned it really loud to get out of doing something he didn't want to do. We didn't even know this bit until Doug said it, because Mary painted it. Also, Doug and Mary got married, apparently. Lucius shrugs. I don't think it impacts Steed's feet. I just think it's fascinating context, given how nice Steed was to Doug. Married, says Ed thoughtfully from the door, and the suddenness of it makes even Ollivander jolt a little bit. Though that could just be the actual literal shrieks that come from everyone else in the room. Probably because Ed is holding knives. Just so many fucking knives. So many that he's carrying them bundled up in his arms and held against his chest so none of them drop out. Also, fuck, that cat bell is not working. You don't think Steed came back just because, you know, Ed says, and it's like he suddenly turned into a goddamn puppy dog with big wide eyes. Because he couldn't make it work with Mary? That's not how it sounded at all, Lucius says, even though he's pressing a hand to his chest like he's trying to manually slow down his heartbeat. Doug said he was like super sad the whole time he was home. Knives, Jim says, their voice strangled, and points, with Ollivander can't help but notice a dagger, which is maybe a little hypocritical, at Ed. What? Ed says, and suddenly remembers his arms are full of knives. Oh, right, yeah. Oh shit, I just realized what this looks like. Here, can someone grab? He turns around so his back is facing the room, and for some reason he's got, like, a peacock's tail of paper shoved into the back of the belt, keeping his sack closed. The belt is, admittedly, new. Ollivander wasn't present for any of this, thank God, but apparently there were a few incidences with some unfortunate gapping. I figured since things were getting so complicated, Ed says, craning his neck over his shoulder, we could maybe write down some of the important bits and then stick them to the wall with the knives. That's not a terrible idea, actually, Lucius says, and darts forward to grab the paper. This, Jim says through gritted teeth, is a lot of fucking effort to put into something that's ultimately pointless. Well, okay then, Jim, since you know everything about everything, Lucius says, turning toward them and fanning himself a little with the sheet of paper, why do you think Steed's feet all got cut up? Maybe he lost his shoes, Jim says, throwing their arms up. Who cares? I care, Ed says. I kind of care too, Ollivander admits. Shockingly, I also seem to care, Lucius says. And, I mean, Ed adds, crossing his arms across his stomach. I know this maybe isn't my place to say so, but it could be nice. Having something to talk about that, in the grand scheme of things, kind of unimportant. 'Cause, I mean, I know we've got real problems here. Fucking understatement, Archie mutters, trimming a cuticle with a dagger Ollivander hadn't realized she had. Yep, true, Ed agrees easily. But we've all still got to deal with each other in the day-to-day, so maybe something low stakes and non-violent could be constructive? Maybe at least put the knives down, Ed, Lucius says, and Ed looks down, surprised at the knives in his arms. Oh, shit, yeah, right, he says, and carefully crosses to one of the side tables and lets them range from his arms. Sorry, he adds. Okay, but if you want to know what happened so bad, why don't you just ask him? Jim demands. Oluwande, Lucius, and Ed all trade glances for a long moment, but it's Oluwande who eventually admits it. This is kind of more fun, he says. Takes all the mystery out of it, Lucius agrees. You, and here Jim points savagely at Ed, and Seed never fucking stop talking. Every time I see one of you, the other one is right there, and you're catching each other up on your days, or chatting about the weather, or playing with your stupid little cat bell, and you expect us to believe that in all the endless hours of you talking, this has never come up? Ed presses his lips together and nods. Yep, which is why this is weird. Oluwande watches Jim's expression closely, and also knows them really well, so he can tell the moment they click over from irritation and disbelief into reluctant curiosity. He got a splinter on our first raid and called it his first of many grievous battle wounds for a week, they say. Exactly, Lucius says. And when Izzy pinned him to the mast in that duel, he made everyone sign his bandages, Oluwande chimes in, even though almost none of us can read or write. Also, the fact that I've heard both of those stories probably means something, Archie adds, because I wasn't here for any of them, but he made me look at the spot where that splinter was, even though there wasn't a scar like he said there was. When shit happens to him, Oluwande says, he talks about it, you know? Well, not always, Ed says, with a shrug, and everyone turns to look at him. All I've ever heard him say about how we met was that he was gut stabbed and I saved his life. There was a lot more to it than that, is all. Sorry, he got fucking gut stabbed? Archie demands, leaning forward on the bed. I've never heard this one. I think he sort of felt bad about that one, Lucius muses, since it represented his utter failure as a captain, sort of thing. Okay, so he must feel bad about whatever made him leave the Privateering Academy without his shoes, Oluwande says, and shrugs. Which is probably just leaving Ed, right? No, we talked about the leaving bit, Ed says. I mean, not a lot, but some. His whole night is unaccounted for, Lucius says, shaking his head. The last time Ed saw him was at the Privateering Academy, and the next thing anyone knows, he's showing up in a state at his old house. How far is the house from the academy? Archie asks, which draws everyone's attention back to her. Well, if they're just like 3 feet from each other, it means something different that he went from one to the other without shoes, right? Other side of Barbados, Ed says. Cove Bay to Bridgetown. Archie whistles in appreciation. That's not a short walk. And he's not a fast walker, Ed agrees, so he must have been walking most of the night. Okay, hold up. Jim pushes himself out of the bed and starts pacing. We need to do this right. If we're trying to figure out what happened, we need to get everything we already know straight. Lucius, do you have something to write with? Yep, always, Lucius says, and pulls a pencil out of his pocket. Why? Because if we're going to crack this, Jim grabs a piece of paper, throws it into the air, grabs a knife, and before Oluwande has even finished processing anything else, has thrown the knife to pin the paper against their empty wall. We're going to have to recreate the timeline. An hour later, Oluwande can definitively say that the best thing about the timeline is that it gets all the fucking revelations out of the way at once. They start it with Ed and Steed's last interaction at the Privateering Academy, which leads Jim to wondering how they got to the Privateering Academy in the first place, which gets Lucius telling the story of the English raid and how Izzy sold them out, which is apparently news to Jim, though how the fuck it never came up in all the time sailing under Blackbeard, Oluwande has no clue. Well, put it up there then, Jim says, snatching another piece of paper off the side table and scribbling on it. Oluwande assumes it says something like, Izzy colludes with Spanish Jackie and the English. Why were the English so focused on Steed? Archie asks. Seems like they, you know, had Blackbeard right there. Steed killed a captain in the English Navy a while back, Oluwande says, and a frown creeps across Ed's face. Wait, he did? I thought that guy was just being weird. So they add another timeline above the first timeline to cover all the shit that happened before any of the stuff they actually care about. Okay, so this Captain Badminton guy shows up, Lucius says, hovering a finger over the first bit of paper. They've started tearing the sheets into smaller pieces so they can get everything up there. He pressures Seed into letting him on the ship, makes him super uncomfortable, brags about all the awful shit he did to Seed while they were at boarding school together. Wait, what? Says Ed. He was a bully, let's just keep going, Oluwande says. waving a hand towards Lucius. Threw rocks at him and made him French kiss a horse. It was bad, Lucius agrees, but he moves on to the next event in the timeline. Steed tries to stun the captain. Captain falls on his sword, eyeball first. We take hostages, etc. Steed has a minor breakdown after we run aground, Oluwande adds, trying not to roll his eyes. If I had a nickel for every time Steed had a minor breakdown, I swear to God, Lucius says, but Ed is frowning. What kind of breakdown? Because he knew the guy? I think it was the first time he killed someone, Oluwande says, shrugging. So he was trying to, adjust to it. Ed opens his mouth to say something else, but Lucius closes his hand like a mouth at him. No, we are getting through this timeline if it fucking kills us, okay? Minor breakdown, hostages, selling hostages to the Spanish, we meet Blackbeard, skip a fucking head, too. And now Lucius drops to the second line, which had previously been the main line. Izzy gets kicked off the ship and goes to the English, where he trades Steed for getting Blackbeard the hell out of Dodge. Archie makes an uncertain humming noise. Blackbeard must have killed loads of English captains before, right? So why'd the English agree to let you go? The Admiral was the captain's brother, Lucius says with a wince, so it got a little personal. Hang on, how do you know that? Ed asks, crossing his arms. Well, they've got the same name, Oluwande points out. And they were absolutely twins, Lucius adds. Like, identical, except for the hair and the rank. And the vibes, I guess, which were both bad, but different kinds of bad. So this guy, Jim says slowly, tapping the pencil against the relevant square on the wall, seeks out Steed specifically, and, after working with a notorious pirate to get him, is completely okay with Steed taking the act of grace, becoming a privateer, and getting out of facing any consequences for killing his fucking brother? Oh, he wasn't okay with it, Ed says, making a face. He fully lost it. It was almost hard to watch, Oluwande agrees. Lucius smirks, emphasis on almost. Threw a hissy fit and had to be restrained by his own officers, Ed adds and chuckles. And then Steed goes back to his life, where he's immediately identifiable and traceable, Jim continues relentlessly, after having done a high-profile escape from the Privateering Academy. Well, hang on, Oluwande says. We don't know if it was high profile. Blackbeard signed up to be a privateer and ran away? Archie says, raising her eyebrows. You better believe that word fucking got around, mate. That's why I joined his crew in the first place. Sounded pretty badass. I admit, Lucius says slowly, looking thoughtfully at the timeline, that if Admiral Badminton heard that Steed was back home, I can't imagine he wouldn't, do something about it. Is that why Steed faked his death then? Archie says. To throw that Admiral guy off his trail? Would explain why he kept introducing himself by name at Spanish Jackie's, Oluwande said with a shrug. It's not exactly a place that funnels intelligence back to the English Navy. I never saw any wanted posters for Steed, Lucius says. I mean, Blackbeard, yeah, everywhere, but. Did the posters say we escaped together? Ed asks suddenly. And when Oluwande looks at him, his shoulders are tight and hunched. I mean, we both disappeared at the same time, and the only ones who knew we weren't together when we were supposed to be were, me and him. Would they assume that, though? Archie says. The ones who were in the room when we actually signed the thing probably would have. Yeah, Ed mumbles, and he's not meeting any of their eyes now. I could see how they could have, gotten the impression that I wasn't about to leave without at least giving him the chance to come with. That's an excruciatingly personal thing to know about Blackbeard, so Oluwande decides to just, well, ignore it. It wasn't on the poster that Steed had, Lucius says. It listed a whole bunch of other things, but I think it was going sort of category by category. But I don't remember seeing an escape on there. Steed has a poster? Jim asks, frowning. He was using it to try to track down where Blackbeard was, Oluwande says. By following the crime, sort of thing. Ed looks oddly touched at that. Maybe another wanted poster did, though, Archie says. I swear I saw one with it at one point. Oh, Archie, Lucius says with a warm smile. I never realized you could read. Oh, I can't, Archie says. I made someone read me the juicy bit. Izzy was collecting them, Ed offers. The posters, I mean, keeping track of who said what. Silence creeps into the room like a fog. Ed says after a minute. I probably shouldn't be the one to talk to him if we decide to go down that path. Lucius says very quietly under his breath. Oh boy. Fuck it, I'll go, Jim says, tossing the pencil to Lucius, who squeaks but catches it. Anyone want to come with? Honestly, I still hear the way he screamed when we cut his leg off every time he talks, Archie says, with a careless shrug, so I think I'll give it a pass. I can go, Aluwande says jerkily, if you want. I've definitely seen you talking to him, Lucius says to Archie. Oh, for sure, Archie agrees. But that doesn't mean I won't avoid him if I can. Besides, I want to see if we can figure out what happened before they get back. Right then, Jim says, and gives Aluwande a gentle tap on the shoulder with the back of their fingers. Guess it's just you and me. It's not. It used to be, though, but that's another complicated thing. So Aluwande files it away and follows Jim. Only Murders on the Mainland, Chapter 3. They find Izzy in the hold, where Wee John is teaching him to knit. Based on the tangled mass of red yarn in Izzy's hands, which honestly looks more like a bunch of intestines wrapped around two knitting needles, it's not going well. Wow, that looks great, Aluwande says, but even as the words pass his lips, he can tell how fucking fake they sound, mainly because he's lying. Oh, fuck off, Izzy says, but in a weirdly friendly kind of way. You have to keep the yarn looped around the needle, Wee John tells Izzy, and demonstrates with his own project. Don't know why you said this was relaxing, Izzy says, shaking his head at the mess. You seem pretty relaxed, Jim tells him. Hey, we wanted to ask you something. Sure, why not? Izzy says, attention still on his knitting needles. Have you still got all those wanted posters of Blackbeard outlining his terrible crimes? Izzy's hands go still, and Aluwande suddenly realizes that this was a completely terrible idea. This isn't a new Izzy stillness, but a vestige of the old Izzy, the one who didn't just stand with Blackbeard in the midst of atrocities, but encouraged them. Then Izzy's breath escapes in a sigh, and his shoulders slump. Yeah, probably somewhere, he says, and his scrutiny on his knitting increases in a way that is, frankly, suspicious. Did he ask for me? For them? He corrects quickly, but the damage is done. He thinks you don't want to talk to him, Aluwande jumps in. Because of the whole leg thing, I'd imagine. Oh, I don't want to talk to him, Izzy says, rolling his eyes. Sure, yeah, I bet that's what he said, the fucking coward. But maybe, Aluwande continues doggedly, if you help us, we can all work on this thing together? Work on, Wee John says, looking up at Aluwande. What are you working on? Jim sighs. We've all lost our minds and are meticulously investigating what Steed did for like 8 hours one night in Barbados. That gets Izzy to fully put down his knitting. For fuck's sake, why? I don't know, Jim says, shrugging. Foot stuff? And that gets Wee John's attention. Sorry, what? He didn't have shoes, Aluwande says, before Jim can dig themselves deeper. When he showed up at home again after leaving Ed, even though it's a really long way to walk. Also, he faked his death, Jim adds, which I think we're not really talking enough about because that's super weird too. Now both Izzy and Wee John are staring. What? Izzy demands. Look, do you have the wanted posters or not? Jim asks. We're trying to figure out if an English admiral would know that Steed escaped from the Privateering Academy. Izzy sighs and pulls himself to his feet. Foot? Foot and wooden foot? With a groan. Fine, whatever, he mutters, and crosses to one of the shelves in the hold. Here, I don't need them anymore anyway. And Blackbeard definitely doesn't, he adds bitterly. If he ever even did. Right, Aluwande says, as Jim takes the papers Izzy offers and begins to look them over. How are you doing, Izzy? I just realized I haven't really asked. Fine, Izzy says, in a tone that brooks no arguing, but Aluwande looks past him and sees Wee John shaking his head and mouthing, not great. But next to him, Jim pauses, frowns. Their finger stills near one of the items. Izzy, they say, their voice a bit strangled. How many escapes would you say Blackbeard's done over the years? Izzy glances over at the list. That the English would consider a crime? Just the one. All the other escapes have been in combat. So, just from the Privateering Academy? Yeah, that one. Fucking fuck, Jim says, and crumples the sheet of paper in their hand. He's been fucking lying to us this whole fucking time. Aluwande follows them as they storm back to the room. Wait, what are you? What's even happening? Wee John asks, following, and yep, Izzy's right behind him too. Jim slams the door of the room open and brandishes the now wrinkled paper. "Holy shit, stop that," Lucius says, leaning on the wall for stability. "Well, Blackbeard," Jim says, crossing the room to get into Ed's personal space, "when exactly were you going to tell us that you were lying about the timeline, Ed's eyes nearly cross as he tries to look at the paper Jim is shoving in his face. "Wait, what?" Jim steps back away, pointing at the timeline on the wall. "You said," they say, their voice shaking, "that you left Steed at the academy, got a dinghy, and were at the dock the whole night." "Yeah," Ed says. "'Cause I was?" "Right," Jim says, and lightning quick grabs a knife to pin the wanted poster in the long gap representing that evening. "And when in there did you murder the fucking admiral?" "Oh shit," Archie says quietly. "Which admiral are we talking about?" Wee John asks, poking his head through the threshold of the room. "Admiral Chauncey Badminton," Jim declares, pounding their finger against the wanted poster, "whose murder by Blackbeard was, quote, in the commission of escape from custody of ye English." "The fuck?" Ed says, and leans in to take a look at the poster. "Isn't that the same admiral that wanted Bonnet?" Izzy says from the doorway, and Ed's head snaps around to look at him. Izzy crosses his arms, looking anywhere but at Ed. He would have given anything to get his hands on Bonnet. That's why he worked with me and Jackie to get him. "Spanish Jackie was involved?" Oluwande demands, flabbergasted. "She fucking put us up for like 2 months and never said anything." "Probably because she was involved," Archie mutters. "Bonnet killed his brother," Izzy continues. "He was told by one of the survivors, and the account was consistent with what we were told by our hostage officer." Izzy shrugs one shoulder. "If Admiral Badminton died that night and it wasn't Blackbeard who did it, maybe Bonnet decided to finish what he started, get both twins out of the way." "Well," Lucia says thoughtfully, "that might make more sense if, one, any of us thought Seed was capable of cold-blooded murder." "You never know what someone might do when they're pushed to the edge," Izzy says, voice low. He's still not looking at Ed. "And two," Lucius continues over Izzy, "he didn't murder that first badminton guy. It was an accident." Izzy rolls his eyes. His sword was completely through his fucking skull. "Yeah," Oluwande says, wincing. "I know, I saw. But it was because he fell on it. Trust me, Lucius and I had to convince him to say he did it on purpose to stave off the mutiny." "Oh yeah, we definitely would have mutinied if we'd known it was an accident," Wee John agrees easily. "He was having a full-on panic attack," Lucius adds. "Like, I could see his soul leaving his body. It was rough." Ed frowns, turning his head toward Lucius like a snake who's just sensed movement. "What did you say?" Lucius waves the question away. "Oh, it's just an expression." "No, you..." Ed blinks a few times in thought, even though his gaze is steady on the wall just to the side of Lucius's head. "He panicked." He steps closer to the timeline, not even paying attention to anyone else, and Jim steps away quickly without complaint. Ed puts his pointer finger against one of the squares. "This Chauncey guy wanted him dead," he says thoughtfully, and moves his finger to a square on the top line, "because he thought Steed murdered his brother. Then, the night that Steed escaped, the first night he's been transferred to the Privateering Academy, somewhere where he's not under guard, where Chauncey knows where to find him." Ed's finger hovers over the wanted poster. "I think it was an accident." "He accidentally murdered an admiral?" Jim asks, eyebrows raised with skepticism. "Could be he did it on purpose," Izzy says, "or defending himself. He told me that he blacks out in the field and his body takes over." He shakes his head. "Thought it was bullshit, but he's still here, so something must be happening." "No," Ed says, shaking his head at the timeline. "'Cause after, he's sad. Jumpy. Attacks Doug. Gets drunk. He fakes his death, not to hide, but because he needs, what, closure? Reinvention?" "Rebirth," Izzy suggests quietly. "Sometimes that's what you need, a fresh start." Ed's hand curls into a fist, and he lets his middle knuckle land against the wanted poster with a heavy knock. "No such thing as a fresh start, though, is there? There's always someone waiting to rear their fucking head." "Well," Izzy says, swallowing hard. "Well, maybe. Sometimes someone needs some time to adjust, too. Maybe someone doesn't always know how to move forward and take the things that matter with them while leaving the other ship behind. Maybe someone else, Ed says, just wants some fucking benefit of the doubt, man. Maybe someone else takes it kind of fucking personally that the first time they really make themselves vulnerable to someone they thought they could trust, someone stabs them in the fucking metaphorical back. Maybe someone, Izzy says loudly, didn't appreciate being thrown away like fucking trash the second someone new and more exciting come along. Did someone else think of that? Maybe someone was trying to be helpful and didn't deserve to have their fucking leg shot off. Yeah, well, okay, maybe someone else regrets the whole leg thing, Ed admits, getting flustered. But that doesn't change the fact that someone threatened to fucking murder someone else for being, and I quote, a namby-pamby in a silk robe pining for his boyfriend. So maybe someone can think a little bit harder about the role they played in setting up the shitty situation in the first place. A fucking leg, Izzy repeats. He's starting to go a little red in the face. Fuck, man. Someone else already said they're sorry about it. There's no need to keep throwing it in their face. No, Lucius interrupts, raising a hand to intervene. Someone else has not, in fact, said the words, I'm sorry, at any point to anyone. And, in fact, the use of the word regret earlier was the closest that someone else has come to even acknowledging that things happened. Oh, fuck, Archie says, her eyes widening in realization. They're talking about themselves. Oh, please, Ed says to Lucius, like someone else is the only one who learned pretty fucking early on that apologies are weakness and weakness gets you killed. And you know who taught that to someone else? Someone did. Someone can still apologize, Lucius snaps back. Well, fine, someone else is sorry, okay, Ed says, pretty loudly, all things considered. Someone else is really fucking sorry for shooting off your leg and the toes and the psychological torture and whatnot. But, you know, maybe someone else also wants a little acknowledgement that someone was pretty shitty to them at a vulnerable time and there was no fucking call for it. Izzy lets out an angry exhale, leaning on the doorframe for support. After a second, Ed finally, for the first time, looks up to meet Izzy's gaze. I'm sorry, man, he tells Izzy. He clears his throat and turns to Archie and Jim, too. None of you deserved that, and I'm sorry. Now he looks at Wee John and Aluwande in turn. Sorry about the marooning. And canceling the talent show, Aluwande says, unsure if he'll get away with it. And canceling the talent show, Ed agrees. He glances at Lucius and shrugs. But you and me were good, right? Because you threw me off the ship? Absolutely the fuck not. Say it, Lucius says through gritted teeth. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'm. Ed takes a breath. I'm sorry. Then he looks down. I know things were bad, and I made them worse. On purpose, Jim says, not kindly. Yeah, it absolutely was on purpose, for sure, Ed agrees. I guess I just thought that maybe if things got bad enough, it hit bottom, and then at least there wouldn't be any worse it could get, right? Like when you fall into the ocean and think to yourself, hey, at least if I hit the sea floor, I don't have to wear myself out hoping, because at the end, I'll get to die, and it'll all be over. Fuck, that's dark, says Archie, staring. Yeah, I know, Ed says, fiddling with his sack belt. And it doesn't really feel fair to put this on all of you, since it's my problem, too. Is everything okay down here? Steed's head pokes into the room between Izzy and Wee John. I heard shouting. Oh, are you having a party? He catches sight of the wall and blinks. A knife party? Hey, quick question, Captain, Archie says, leaning forward to get a good angle on Steed. You ever murder an English admiral? All expression slides off Steed's face in an instant, and any flush to his skin drains away right after. You. What? He says. Yeah, Doug said some stuff to these two, Archie points at Aluwande and Lucius, that got us all trying to figure out how the fuck you got from the privateering academy back to your house with no shoes. Narc, Lucius hisses at Archie. And why you faked your death and never talk about it, Jim adds. And also why you keep introducing yourself using your name when you're supposed to be dead. I, Steed says, and his voice fails him. He looks around the room again. You're all trying to figure this out? He glances at the wall. By meticulously creating a timeline of my actions and movements for the past, gosh, is that a year? Instead of asking me? Didn't want to bring up a sore subject, Ed says, looking down at the floor. Steed, stricken, stares at him. "With me, you mean," he says eventually. "Because clearly you brought it up amongst yourselves." "Can't help but notice he still hasn't answered," Wee John says, and Seed gives him an utterly betrayed look. "Like I suggested," Izzy interjects loudly. "Could be that he blacked out. Combat skills took over." "No," Steed says, and all the heads in the room swivel to him like magnets. There is something hollow in his expression now, like his face is going to cave in like a sinkhole made of tears. But he takes a deep breath and steps all the way into the room, going to the timeline. "Chauncey, he came in the middle of the night, with a gun. Walked me out into the middle of the forest, and..." He lets out a breath that could almost be a laugh if it weren't so pained. "He tripped." "He fucking what?" Izzy says. "I know," Speed says ruefully. "After all that, he just tripped. The gun was in his hand, and his finger was on the trigger, I suppose. So even though he managed to catch himself on one elbow, that just made it go off." "Oh, gross," Lucius murmurs, wrinkling his nose. "You never said," Ed says quietly. "Well, you've got your own problems," Steed says. "And besides, isn't it sort of nice just to be who we are now? Meeting each other where we are instead of looking backwards all the time?" But Ed's shaking his head. "You're carrying it with you, man. You want to meet me where I am? Fine. But don't pretend you've been there at that middle spot the whole fucking time. You've got somewhere to get met, too." "You've been through so much," Steed says, half desperate. "You gave up piracy? Your life? Your beard?" Ed rolls his eyes. "God, not the fucking beard again. Seriously." But Steed draws himself up. "Yeah. Yes, the fucking beard again, Edward, because you loved that beard. You named yourself after that beard. That beard meant something to you, and you had to throw it away for me. For me, some random fucko who barely stayed alive long enough to meet you in the first place, with a long line of corpses behind me, of smarter, stronger, and all-around better people who died from the sheer misfortune of being near me." With a sigh, Ed shoves his face in his hands. "It's just a beard, mate." "Oh, for fuck's sake, it's synecdoche," Lucius snaps. And Ed and Seed both turn to stare at him like they've only now remembered that they're in a room that is completely full of people. "What?" Lucius says. "It is. Steed is using the beard to represent the whole of Ed's identity. So Steed is upset that he feels like Ed gave up his entire identity for Steed. And also," Lucius adds, this time specifically to Steed, "you don't magically make people dead by being around them. That's ridiculous." Steed says, blinking at Lucius, and then their wider audience. "Ed, perhaps we should go talk somewhere else?" "Yeah," Ed says, rubbing the back of his neck. "Yeah, that probably, yeah. Private, preferably." Steed takes a deep breath and looks again at the timeline. "Yeah," he says. "Yeah, definitely private. He turns toward everyone else, at a bit of a loss. "Well, I guess we'll see you later." Steed and Ed slip out past Wee John and Izzy sighs and lets his head plonk against the doorframe. "I don't understand anything that just happened," Wee John said with a frown. "Why were you all so obsessed with this again?" "Okay, let me take it from the top," Lucius says, and takes up a position in front of the timeline. "Picture this. Bridgetown, Barbados. A quiet residential community doesn't know that it's about to be rocked by bloody violence. Steed Bonnet, recently returned from his time at sea, walks down the street, barely recognizable to those who once knew him. Just last night, he interrupted his wife's art showing, but today, he's just walking. Until, out of nowhere, a carriage barrels into him." "Captain got hit by a carriage?" Wee John says, surprised. "And then, from above, a piano drops onto him." "How is he still walking around?" Wee John demands. "Then, finally, a jungle cat eats his corpse." Wee John crosses his arms. "Now you're just fucking with me." "Ah, but," Lucius points at Wee John, "all of those things happen. Or at least, everyone who was there thought they happened. The truth is more complicated, more dangerous, and more dark than anyone could have ever imagined." "This is great stuff, man," Archie says, crossing her legs on the bed. "You should write this shit down." "Oh, I like that," Lucia says consideringly. "Can illustrate it and everything." "Cover the investigation as it unfolds," Archie agrees. "Bit by bit. Serialized, I like it, Lucius says, tapping his fingers against his lips. We could call it, bits, suggests Archie. Yeah, why not? We can call it that for now, Lucius says, and points to the very first bit of paper. To understand how we got to this scene of Seed Bonnet faking his death, we'll have to go back to the beginning of it all. I can't believe I have nothing better to do than listen to this, Izzy sighs. Oh, shut up, you love it, Wee John says, and plants himself on the floor next to the bed. Come on, you can knit while you listen. It'll be good for building up the muscle memory. Olawande catches Jim's eye, and they jerk their chin toward the door. Olawande nods and follows Jim out. I feel like we got enough of that already. How about you? Jim says. Oh, for sure, Olawande says, tamping down his beanie. I mean, sort of feels like we still don't have answers for some stuff. Do we need them, though? Jim says, and Olawande follows them up the steps to the deck. I think what Steed said made some sense, you know? Sometimes it's about looking at where you are and going from there. What if that means dumping everything that came before? Olawande says, but he can't bring himself to look at them as he says it. Instead, he goes to the rail and leans on it, peering out at the sea. Jim comes up next to him and leans too, bumping their shoulder sideways against Olawande's. What if it doesn't? Olawande flicks a bit of sawdust off the rail. I guess I kind of see why Steed never talked about it, he says. It's hard when it's that complicated, you know? Yeah, I know, Jim says and sighs. Olu, look, I know we haven't really talked about some stuff. Yeah, Olawande agrees slowly. Things have been a bit. Do you want to kiss? Jim says. Should we be kissing? Olawande just stares for a second. That's a wild way to phrase it, Jim. Jim winches, scrunching up their whole face. No, I know. I've been kissing Archie, more than kissing. And I don't want you to feel like. I don't feel like, Olawande objects. Everything's fine. How I feel about you hasn't changed, Jim continues. Everything else has changed. Like, fuck, everything else has changed so much. But I also want to keep kissing Archie, and if you don't want that, then I don't know where to go from there. It's not exactly conventional, Olawande agrees. Jim gives him a fleeting smile. Uncharted waters, you could say. Olawande winces preemptively. I kissed someone else, too. Oh, shit, Jim says, impressed. And Serio? Well, she kissed me, Olawande corrects himself. She's got good taste, then, Jim says with a grin, and bumps Olawande's shoulder again. And it's okay if that means you don't want to kiss me, you know. I don't know what I want, Olawande says, and groans, letting his head fall forward onto his hands on the rail. Well, I guess I do. I just want more than one thing, and that's weird. Who says it's weird? Jim shrugs. I want more than one thing, too. Does that bug you? No, Olawande says, but you're you. Jim scoffs. What's that supposed to mean? It means, Jim, that you've got maybe the biggest heart of anyone I've ever met. You do remember, Jim says slowly, that when I met you, I was planning a murder, right? Which I then carried out? Yeah, but you murdered because you loved, Olawande says. It takes a big fucking heart to hold on to that hurt for that long, let alone coming out on the other side the way you are. Not sure I agree, Jim murmurs, looking down. But, what about you, though? Jim worries, their lip between their teeth. Does your heart have room for another heart? Maybe one that also has another heart inside it? Like those dolls that have the dolls? Olawande frowns. Isn't that just two dolls? No, they, like, stack inside each other. Inside each other? That sounds nasty. Because they're hollow. Look, what I'm saying is. Jim sighs. No matter what, Olawande Budhari, you're my fucking family. And anytime you need me, I'll be yours. No matter how much kissing that does or doesn't involve. Yeah, well, Olawande lifts one hand from the railing and slowly moves it towards Jim's. They lift their closer hand too, and let Olawande intertwine their fingers together. You're my family too, regardless of kissing amount. And maybe we can just see where that leads. That sounds nice, Jim says, and smiles at Olawande. He smiles back, and for a second they both just stay there, inhabiting the smile. Then Jim's smile turns a little wicked. Okay, so who's this other person you kissed? Olawande winces. Oh, well, You know Zheng Yi Sao, that pirate queen that was gonna execute you? Jim's eyebrows shot up. Holy shit, are you serious? Olawande would be offended if Jim weren't so obviously gleeful. Okay, come on. She's cute for sure, Jim continues. Was it before or after she decided to execute us, though? 'Cause that'd be a little messed up. I was trying to convince her not to do it, Olawande admits, and Jim's mouth drops open. Were you trading your body for our freedom, they say? Fake scandalized. I mean, can't say I blame her. It absolutely would have worked on me. I just never pictured you as a honey trap. No, Olawande objects. We were just talking, and then things got complicated, and then they got kissy. Jim pulls away from Olawande to look him over, and Olawande really doesn't like the sly look in their eye. I'm not convinced you're telling me everything, they say. Maybe I should do some investigating. Put together a timeline of the supposed crime. And Olawande leans forward and presses his mouth against theirs, and Jim, gratifyingly, stops talking. The investigation leader is thorough and involves no timelines, although they do bring Archie onto the case as backup. The end. Thank you for listening. Please go back to the archive and leave comments for Kiera Sayre. I've linked the original story in Behind This Track on SoundCloud.